Hello and welcome to the fourth edition of the Big River Solutions podcast. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and today I'm joined by Christine Edwards and Neil Hutton, part of the Big River Solutions team. Today we're discussing category management basics. For more than 30 years, when Dr. Brian Harris first coined the term, category management has been a buzzword in the industry, used to harness collaboration between manufacturers and retailers for the benefit of the shopper. As the world has evolved and shoppers changed, does it still have a role? Neil, if I can turn to you, who does category management?
Well, I think if we wind back a couple of decades back into the 80s, it was really the preserve of the large multinational companies that had the resources who first started adopting category management. I mean, the principles came across from the US, of course, and some of those big multinationals brought across those principles from the US. I think if we wind forward now to today, it's very much smaller companies, it's medium-sized companies, it's across a number of different product sectors as well, whereas it used to be just food companies that were looking into category management. So it's become much more universal, much more adopted by many companies, many sectors now.
And the thing was, of course, I can remember being involved with some of the large American processes that we used here. It just was template heavy. I remember one particular retailer where we counted it, 290 pages of templates. And actually what that meant was that it was the preserve of the big guys, because only the big guys had the insights, the data, and actually the resources to fill in the templates. But as Neil says, these days it's completely different because all manufacturers can have a role to play within the process.
Those early templates. I mean, the process, the eight-stage process, was absolutely painful, and I think it was only companies with huge resource that would be prepared to take that on. I think smaller companies at that stage said no, you know, that's not for us. We haven't got, you know, a team of 20 to devote their time for it. Of course, the big companies used to second people into project teams who it was then their main job or their only job to then do the category management project for 6 months. So it was massively resource intensive.
And I remember actually seeing a picture that one of the consultancies had created at the time, and they talked about the graveyard of sameness, which is, you know, if you get whoever fills in the templates with the same data, you're going to get the same answer. And I think what we would like to think about is that really category management is both an art and a science. So the science really is open to everybody. I guess the key is the art of how you apply it and what you then do with it. And that really for me is the art in it. And what it then means, of course, is that any manufacturer can be involved because, you know, you could have a manufacturer who has a very big share of a big category, but really in the biggest segments within that category. Whereas equally important could be a manufacturer who might have a very big share and great understanding about a niche part of the category. And actually, if you're not careful, you do so much work on the big segments and really try to get as much as you can from those segments, you can sometimes overlook some of the growth opportunities that are in some of the smaller niche areas.
And as shoppers change habits, what do we need to do in store?
I mean, ideally, you need to reflect both what shoppers are doing from a mission perspective and also from the needs that they have when they go into store.
I think more than just reflect, probably predict and be prepared for trends. So as you're on the crest of that wave, as those trends are developing, I think category management needs to reflect and adopt those principles in range display and be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Neil. Yeah, I mean, you know, category management for me and actually for Big River Solutions is a very important part of the process, but ultimately it's a historical review of what's happened in the past. And if you only do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got. But actually the real need is to actually, as Neil says, is to think about what might happen, what's going to happen in the future, and actually how do we sort of capture those trends and be slightly ahead of the trends in store. Because, of course, the biggest limiter in category management tends to be store man hours. And so you've got to make the changes can only happen every few years. And then in the meantime, you're doing sort of one in, one out or tweaks. But actually, you know, a category plan might be written every 3 years. And at that point, you really do need to not just reflect the history of what's happened, but really to consider what's going to happen in the future.
So shopper insights for category management are quite important.
Absolutely, absolutely essential. I mean, they are really the lifeblood of a category management initiative. I think just winding it back down into simple terms, if you think of the shopper standing in front of the fixture, deciding what he or she wants to buy, that range, that display needs to deliver a quick purchase opportunity so that the shopper can find what they're looking for, what they went in for quickly. But also it needs to work hard to offer them an alternative, possibly a trade-up opportunity, so they can buy a slightly more premium product if that suits them, possibly trial a new product. That fiction needs to work well. And in order to understand all that, insight is absolutely critical, yes, to understand the shopper motivation.
And ultimately what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the shopping list purchased very quickly, because we know from research that the quicker you can fulfil that need, actually shoppers will then stand and browse the category. So they'll look for impulse. We all want to be given some input about new ideas, and we want to check that we're not missing something and see if there's anything new there that we want to try. So category management's role in its simplest form is how do you help shoppers find more quickly what they want, so that actually you're able to encourage them to be more impulsive and to try new things.
I think the thing is, like, understanding shopper missions as well is critical. So why is the shopper in store today? What are they trying to find? Are they buying something for themselves, for the family? Is it distress purchase? They're trying to top up, and actually understanding that will help you hone the range and hone the display. And it's not just necessarily one display; it could be several displays in store where you're actually trying to interface with a shopper at different points within the shopping journey.
And across the board, I mean, this is obviously a very important area. How good are the skills in this area?
I think if I was to be really challenging, I think that potentially the skills generally in manufacturers maybe aren't as good as they used to be. We're working with one manufacturer at the moment, and actually, whereas the category team used to be quite generally a good place to work, and organisations moved people into that team to give them breadth and a greater level of skills, I think it seems now that the silos of marketing and sales are being reinforced a little bit, and there seems to be less cross silo experience being gathered by employees, which is a real shame, because actually, you know, being in the category team, the great thing is that more than any function in any manufacturer, you tend to have a most varied job. You spend lots of time in the trade, you spend lots of time with customers, you spend lots of time gathering insights and creating really identifying opportunities, creating great insights for your organisation. You're exposed to shoppers, consumer, retailers, channels. I mean, it's a diverse and truly enriching role. But of course, I'm biased because that, of course, was where I came from. But I do think that generally, it is surprising and a bit of a shame that its standing within many organisations seems to have gone a little backwards.
I mean, the category or the trade marketing or the shopper marketing or that kind of central commercial role that sits between sales and marketing used to be quite a transitionary role for people. People came in from sales or they moved over from marketing to get more interface to the shopper and the retailer. But I think you're right, Christine. It's become a department in its own, and it recruits category people in, and there's probably less cross fertilisation across the commercial arena.
It does make you wonder whether it's a sign of the times, and whether or not as money has become tight and the need to extract every penny from shoppers, whether or not we've become more turnover commercially oriented, as opposed to really thinking about how we grow and match the needs of the shoppers with what we are doing as suppliers.
It's interesting the way the money has shifted. I mean, over the last several decades, going back to the 80s, money has shifted, as we know, from brand marketing budgets into sales pots. And obviously, we've seen the emergence of shopper marketing as a much more a bigger discipline where more money is spent. But perhaps category has been a little bit looked over in that process. So the money has just gone from A to B, and perhaps there's been less general commercial money available to support both functions.
All of this data that is available from retailers is even more easily read these days, because they've all got great dashboards. So very quickly can you see the trends and what's going on thanks to this front-end dashboard.
But I think the thing that strikes me with the clients I'm working with at the moment is there is so much data available, and so many more retailers are now offering data in various formats that they're obviously trying to commercialise, they're trying to make money out of. I think there's an element that we're now being swamped with data, and perhaps that's one of the reasons that has caused this slight sort of step back in terms of using insight, that we feel a bit over overrun by it.
Overloaded by it all.
Yeah.
It's the good old wood from the trees, isn't it? Mm. How do you really generate something that will make a difference to your business amongst everything else?
When the Dunhumby shop was first launched, it was truly innovative, I guess, in the world. It was the first time that level of panel data was available. But now we've obviously seen the same from Sainsbury's, from Nectar Card. We're now seeing it from the Co-op loyalty card.
So the
wholesalers are now moving in as well. And food service areas, you can now buy that level of data. This is beginning to come online.
Yeah. Interestingly, Waitrose as yet are not doing anything with their loyalty card data.
Often the free coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what can you do to improve the skills in category management? You have all this data, you have all this information. How can you use it better?
I think we need to go back to basics, to use the old term. I think there needs to be probably a reappraisal or some retraining of the central commercial members of companies and manufacturers to really appreciate what really we're trying to do. And it all, for me, as I mentioned earlier, it all boils down to the shopper, understanding the shopper. So do we have the insight to understand the shopper? Are we then able to understand that to then affect our ranges, our displays, our planogramming, our in-store promotional activity, our shopper marketing? And does it all join together?
I think also for me, which is a slightly different take on what you've said, I think that we've gone backwards. So I remember working in a large manufacturer, and really the process that we went through was about making category part of everybody's job and everybody understanding that they had a role to play in category. And I guess maybe the last couple of years, what I've noticed is that category now seems to be the preserve of the category team, and that, you know, good old category people or visions or whatever get trotted out at the time that the sales guys are presenting a JBP, a joint business plan, or something like that. But actually just it being inherently part of everybody's job, I think we've gone backwards.
So if you could do one thing, what would it be?
Well, for me, it would be getting everybody to speak category and to understand that category management is not just part of the team that do range and space. You know, category needs to be delivered in some form, in some way, by pretty much everybody through the organisation.
It's not a function, it's a philosophy, category management, and it should transcend all commercial functions and possibly supply chain as well.
And one final question, how do you apply category management to the online channel?
Going back to the basic principles, I mean, the shopper is sitting in front of a screen. The shopper needs to be able to see a range, needs to be able to prompt it to be able to buy more premium products, to trade up, to trial new products, to have all the information they need to make that sale. And the points Christine made earlier about making it a quick sale as well, making it an efficient process, I think are equally valid.
And all you need to do is you need to reflect the fact that, thank goodness, I don't have to carry that item home. So your opportunity to just go for ginormous packs and fill that cupboard and, you know, really just make it so much easier.
And it's a good point, because you're a different shopper when you're in that mode. When you're buying online, you're the same person that goes into the supermarket, but you're a different shopper because you're in a different mode. And understanding that mode is very important.
And not forgetting that online, equally as in store, the opportunity to encourage trade up, browsing and incremental purchase is just as prevalent. You just have to potentially go after it a little different way.
Christine Edwards and Neil Hutton, thank you very much. That's all we have time for on this Big River Solutions podcast. If you would like to find out any more, please visit the Big River Solutions webpage, bigriversolutions.com. This has been a TDC production. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and I hope you'll join us next time. Goodbye.